Just Sean and Rob today.
Hey, how are you guys?
I think we're okay. I think we're going to be a little busy here for the next couple weeks, months. Claudia's decided that she wants to leave and join another team.
Oh, geez.
I think the primary driver is she says that the opportunity is 5-10 minutes from her house. You know, on a good day, what are we, 45 minutes? Bad day, hour and a half.
Yep.
So even with the flexibility that we've worked in, you know, she thinks this is what she wants to do. She also, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
She also sees this as her chance to kind of build her own thing. She, I've talked about her moving more into an advisor role and less into just that kind of behind-the-scenes quant person, which we've been doing. But I think she wants to accelerate that and wants to see that as, you know, kind of something she builds on her own. I asked if there was anything negative that was driving her decision, and she said the only thing negative was is that I had agreed to be part of the private wealth group, which is part of the bank's roll-up channel as opposed to just the old wirehouse, and she thought that was a mistake, and somehow she perceived that as maybe creating some additional stress for her, which I don't quite understand, but I'm not the one making a change, so I don't need to get it.
Right. Well, that's too bad. That sets you back a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the change is part of, you know. I don't think it's the right decision.
No, I think you guys have come so far. It's unfortunate. But it is what it is, right?
That's right. Yep, and we'll regroup. We'll we're meeting this week in terms of making sure that we have all of the items that Claudia was handling on a day-to-day basis and look to get that reassigned, and we'll drive on from here.
Right. Okay. So what are you going to do to replace her?
You know, I don't know, Rob. We're a little bit, I think, Sean and I haven't had a chance to chat about this as much as I think we should. He had some things last week on the calendar that kept him occupied. And I think our knee-jerk reaction is usually just to retrench and go back and rely just on ourselves. I'm not sure that that is, A, even possible anymore. Maybe it is. But even if it's possible, I question the viability of it. It certainly means we're going to have to address the issue with the really very poor amount of productivity and volume of work that we get out of Elvis, which has, you know, been problematic for a while, but, you know, it was always one of those things, we'll get to it when we get to it, and I don't think we've got time to, you know, wait to get to it now at this point. And, you know, I think early on when something like this happens that, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, we made it this far, you know, we know what to do. You know, you can kind of tell by the way I'm kind of stammering and stuttering around. I'm not sure yet what to do. I'm not sure yet what the right move is. And I think the other thing is, too, is that even once you've kind of identified the quote-unquote right move, that executing on it is a little bit of a challenge. And I think that challenge is going to be amplified by the fact that the folks we need to help us execute on it don't even know if they're going to have jobs in, you know, 8 weeks. So getting them to feel like our problem is a problem that they're going to lose a lot of sleep over in the near term is going to be tough to do.
Why do they think they're going to lose their jobs in 8 weeks?
Because they're collapsing together all of the various Wells Fargo brokerage channels. So they're collapsing together the old wirehouse, the private client group, the PCG, and to some degree the what we're in, which is the wealth brokerage system, which is the bank channel. Now, they have delineated out within the bank channel this new channel, which is the private wealth advisor, which is the people that are pursuing the 5 million and up clients within the wealth channel, which is the area that we're in, which is where they're saying they're expecting to see a lot of the growth and a lot of the lift. But, you know, to this point, you know, it's not clear to me if they're going to have, you know, somebody who just runs that or what the headcounts are going to be.
So there's going to be potentially consolidation in terms of management and leadership, Rob, here over the course of the next 8 weeks.
Okay, just to give you guys an idea, we did this, of course, at Merrill Lynch a long time ago, you know, 18 years ago or something. And what happened was and is still today, the wealth management channel is a channel by itself, has its own director, and is the fastest growing channel consistently every year, and gets just from my point of view, looking back on it, they got the most support of any channel. They were treated very well. They did not make a big deal out of it. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to do all these wonderful things for the wealth management channel. It just happened. Okay.
Right.
They were the ones that worked with the investment bankers. They got introductions from banking. They were challenged to build teams that were very organized. They typically had very delineated roles and responsibilities, and gradually moved from the $5 million minimum to the $10 million minimum, and had the most productivity, had the most increase in revenues and assets. And so it fundamentally works. And these guys that are running the firm are not blind. You know, every firm that has done this effectively has reaped the benefits of it, and you'll be no different. So from an historical point of view, you're in great position. You know, unfortunately, some people can't see the vision of where that's going to lead, but having already been there, I'm like the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court, okay? I know,
right,
where there was resentment, there was all kinds of things. They used to say, look, it's not a better business model, it's just a different business model, just like the 401k business model. Well, in reality, it's Supernova, okay? So it is a better business model. And they just had higher minimums, and therefore, you know, they had lots of requirements, though, in terms of training and development and skill sets. And so it did tend to, you know, most of the better financial advisors, the top men, became private wealth advisors and did business at the high end.
And, Rob, they are requiring the guys, like, we got grandfathered in because we had done all the training they had. But the new,
right,
folks they're bringing in, and I think they're going to bring in, like, 200 to 300 total from both the old bank side and the private client side, the wirehouse side, they are requiring them to do additional training, additional certifications, understanding the broader bank more and doing some of those things. So they're following that model that you've outlined.
Right. And the one thing that I found that they consistently had, whether the, I don't think the firm encouraged this, but in dealing with private clients of high net worth, they typically had, it was fee-based services, but they also, you know, they delegated much of the work to others, but they also had their own portfolio that they ran.
Yeah, and that's a lot of where Claudia's work was. And, you know, again, Sean and I haven't had a chance to talk this through completely and all the way because it came up really late last week. And so I think there's an assimilation process. But, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, I think that we've now got a new 120-day project. And I'm thinking to 1231, and that is to transition Claudia out, stabilize the practice, make sure that there's no slippage, no leakage, no broken china. Oh, we didn't know she did this. How do we get this done? And then optimize it. So now that, you know, there's going to be some things that Sean and I are going to see up close and in person that we weren't seeing before. And so we may ask ourselves, you know, is that the best way to do that? Is this the best thing to do? I think the right challenge that Sean and I will have personally from a leadership standpoint is I want to hit a brief pause button, and then I feel more pressure, I think, to pursue the longer-term vision of, you know, where I feel like I'd like to take the practice and what I want to do. And I'm going to speak for Sean briefly and then obviously let him clarify and correct what I'm saying. And I think Sean would like to see a longer, and pause is the wrong word, so I'll let him use the right word, but longer consolidation period, longer, make sure we're where we need to be. And then maybe say, okay, Rob, I understand where you want to be in 10 years. Let's kind of table that and think more in the terms of, you know, shorten our field of view to like 6 months, 12 months. And again, we haven't had this conversation. And so what I'm saying could be completely inaccurate in terms of the timing, but I just think directionally what it thinks we take. And the way that I see this thing manifest the most is that my concern or my biggest question is what does this mean to size of the team, numbers of players, so on and so forth, because we're basically going to go from 4.5 down to 3. You know, I'm kind of counting Elvis as a half a person here, so maybe it's 3.5. But in a percentage basis, that's just a really big percentage drop. I mean, is that
– right.
How am I positioned? What's your concern, Sean?
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, go ahead. Why don't, Sean, you give me some more feedback, and then I'll make some comments.
Yeah. I think directionally, you know, what Rob said is correct in terms of, you know, what I'm thinking is, you know, putting ourselves in a position to where, you know, we take a step to make sure that we, you know, continue to execute on the day-to-day promises that we've made for clients. And given the fact that we're going to, you know, again, be down a body, getting back to just the, you know, blocking and tackling and going through, you know, a month or two of our normal routine and seeing where the gaps exist and where the workload is very difficult to carry forward. So that ideally is, you know, where I think we should go in the short run, but obviously not to give up on the longer term view of continuing to grow the practice, you know, one from a revenue standpoint, but also from a talent standpoint. And, you know, I think that the potential search for that next person, you know, should probably begin in the course of the next 30 to 60 days.
Right. Here's the thing that I want you guys to do is I want you to, you've done the roles and responsibilities dust that off, figure out what the roles and responsibilities are based on the five-star model, who is, you know, what was Claudia doing, what's the hole that she's filling, what were the other things that she did besides the five-star model, and who is going to be, who's going to be doing what in the future? And then what is that gap? And then who is the right person that we hire to fill that gap? Okay. That's really important. And, you know, whether it's, you call it an analyst, you know, you call it a CA, CSA, I don't know. I mean, that's, but I would hire for the role rather than try and hire for a title. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And you, yeah. And then, you know, what would you want that person to develop into as they, you know, what roles and responsibilities could they take on as time went on? And try and have, I mean, try not to have anything that you guys have to do. This is impossible, of course. You know, you don't want to take on permanently any roles that you can delegate. So the question becomes, is there a temporary situation that you could have? Is there anybody that could come in and fill in, or do you need to hire? Now, I would do this today, okay? And I would start hiring tomorrow, okay? And I would go as intense as I could, because as long as this is a transition period, you're going to be consumed by this distraction. So
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just as you said that, I kind of thought when you were saying that, I was thinking about the transition period that management here locally has been going through for a year now, and just what an effort it takes to get anything done.
Yeah, it's just horrible. Everybody, you know, it's like moving. You know, you want to get it done as fast as possible and move on to your new life. You don't want to waste time in the garbage position, because it'll take as long as, you know, the job fills the time, right? Well, however long you give it is not how long it's going to take. If you said, I've got to hire somebody in a week, you could probably do it. Now, you shouldn't. You should take a month, but you shouldn't take 3 months. You should try and do it in a week, and it'll take a month.
How does that hit you, Sean?
The way that this firm has operated in the past, I mean, that seems like a short time frame to me.
Yeah,
but here, Sean, let me tell you something. Do you really give a shit how long the firm takes to do anything?
No, I guess I don't.
Yeah, don't use that as an excuse. The firm is the firm. You guys are, you're running your own business inside the firm. So you have your time frame for what you need to get done. If they can help, great. If they can't, then you do it on your own. You know, you can't rely on them to hire people. That's ridiculous. They're not in the business. They're not in the business of hiring people. They're in the business of filling roles. Okay. So they fill roles with the people that are available. You don't care who's available. You need the best person. So you don't care if that person is inside, outside, wherever the hell they are. You got to find them, okay? So, you know, you got to look at every other firm. You got to look at your own firm. You got to look at, you know, other industries. You got to look everywhere. And here's the thing mentally, it's very hard because you guys aren't doing this every day, but you almost have to pretend that you need somebody all the time. And so you're always in the business of hiring. People say, are you hiring? I said, I'm always hiring. Now that was my job, right? But if I were running a team like yours, I'd always have my antenna up. Not that, you know, that I'd always, you know, but I'd always be hiring. I'd always try and figure out how I could use the perfect person to supplement what I had. And then maybe I upgrade, maybe I supplement, maybe I add on, but I'm always doing project upgrade. So if you read in my books, you know, in the team book and my other books, project upgrade was always project radical delegation and project upgrade were always going on. And we're always doing gap analysis. What's missing? Who's filling it? Who's not filling it? What do we have? How can we fill it? If we got one good person to replace these three, would it be worth it? That's what I find. I find you got to find the right person, and then guess what? Everything else takes care of itself. When you have the wrong person in the role, you can't fix it. No matter how much work and training and time and effort, they're just never going to be as good as the right person in the right role.
So, Rob, knowing that that's not a skill set that either of us possess at this point, and we need to develop it like yesterday, how would you suggest we start to meet and source people?
Well, read the chapter in the book on teams on hiring, okay?
Okay.
This is when you need it, right? So you want to
Yep.
You want to say, okay, let's not get caught in this situation again. Let's do what Rob said, which was listen to the book on teams every day for 5 days on each chapter and become experts on teams, okay? But given that that is going to take some time, that's where I'd start, by the way. I'd say take the team. Sean, you listen to the book on teams. I'll listen to the book on teams. We're going to listen to the book on hiring. We're going to listen to it every day for 5 days, okay? Now, to think about it, what you do is you start sourcing from every situation you can think of. So you put it out there. First of all, you got to identify what it is that you want, right? So we do the gap analysis. We figure out what our job description is, and then we figure out who's the perfect person for the job. Think about who's the perfect person. And you're going to make some certain assumptions. Some of them are going to be wrong. But you're going to say, we really want a 45-year-old male, female that has these skill sets, with this experience, and da-da-da. Now, where do we look first? Well, we look first at our own firm because these are the people that, you know, in our own office, in our own market, and then so that's your first channel. Your next channel is all those people that used to work for us, okay, that either are now had babies and are sitting at home, their kids are in college, and they'd like to do something else, or they need the money, or whatever. but they've got the skill set already, but they're out of the market. But we can bring them back into the market. How do you source those people? You ask everybody that you've got great assistants in there. You don't ask the bad assistants who you want, you know. But if I was going to look for a CA, I would look at my best assistants in the office. I can't steal them. I'd ask them who they knew that we should hire, either other firms or sitting at home. Okay? If you want an FA type person or an analyst, then you've got a little different sourcing job because we don't typically have those people sitting around. You know, they're harder to find. They've got good education. They cost more money. You don't really want, you can look at failed FAs, but, you know, that's tricky. So you want to, you know, that's a source. It's a channel. So I'll throw it out there, failed FAs. And then you want to look at, think about people that have been interns for you, if you've had them, and they're really good. Sometimes if you're looking more for an analyst, then it's an advertising thing. Then you gotta look through more resumes and people and so forth. It's so funny. I just had this conversation this morning, and you know, management typically does a pretty piss poor job of sourcing for you guys, but management is a channel. If they don't have resumes on file, and they really don't help much, then you just put it as a channel, but you don't count on it very much. Then it's just word of mouth and getting the word out. I would probably think about putting it on LinkedIn. I don't know what that would be like. But LinkedIn's a great source of finding people and networking. So I would consider it. And plus, you know, you can control it pretty well. They'll respond. You don't have to, you know, you can tell them to respond on LinkedIn. That way you can control the flow. Let me think about what else. Now, then you go into interviewing, right? Then that becomes another whole task, which is a skill set that you need. And that's why I say listen to the chapter on hiring, because interviewing is a skill set that you need. What happens is typically when people interview, they make up their mind before they even go into the interview what they want to do, whether they want to hire the person or not, which is a terrible thing to do. They also make up their mind in the first 5 minutes whether they want to hire the person, also a terrible thing to do. So you want to keep your mind open the whole time. You want to be asking questions, having the other person talk 70% of the time. And take good notes and interview them independently and then come back together. If you can have three people interview them, it's better than two. And have them come back and tell you what they think. Having someone that's in that job or a similar job interview them is always a big help. Okay. Now, In reality, Claudia can be a big help in this if she wants to be. I mean, she can source people, she can interview people, she can do the gap analysis, she can tell you what she does versus what you think she does, where there's going to be, where she does extra things that you don't know about. So getting her on your side in this thing and not being bitter is really important.
Yeah, and we're there, Rob. What I said to her is that I've said for a long time that I wanted everybody on this team to be happy and fulfilled and moving in the direction that was going to give them the greatest joy. And while I don't necessarily agree with her, I completely support her. And, you know, we're going to wish and do nothing but, you know, wish her nothing but the best and do all we can to help her succeed. And I told her, interestingly enough, I had had a chat with Bill and Rima about when and how we move her into this role she's talking about in the last couple of weeks. And I said to her, I'm not saying that to you at all to try to change your mind or dissuade you or to open up some negotiation, but simply to say, I know you can do this. And so I understand how you got to this decision.
Yeah. I mean, look, her, you know, women, I don't know what her family situation is, but a 5-minute commute versus a 45 minutes or an hour and a half commute carries a lot of weight when you're a mom and you're a wife, you're a mom, you've got all these things. It's just a big deal. And, you know, you can't fight that. It's very powerful. So anyway, I throw that out there.
Yeah, no. And there's no reason to fight it anyway. I mean, it's one of those, you know,
right.
You can go bang your head against the wall all you want, but when you're done banging,
right.
You're still,
no.
Still where we're at.
Yeah. Right. So, does any of that make sense, or was I off base, or what's your thoughts?
It makes sense, Rob. I think it's just figuring out how to get. So, I think listening to that, the book and rereading that portion, I think will be helpful in terms of trying to figure out where to start from here.
Yeah, I wish I was there with you guys. We could just get it done, but I'm not. But, you know, just treat it as if you got to report to me every day on what you're doing and just keep, you know, move down the path.
Yeah, and, you
but
know,
don't,
Claudia's here
don't,
for another couple weeks, so that'll help us some.
Yeah, just, you know, just think about her number one responsibility before she leaves is to find somebody to replace her. Okay? And you tell her that. That's your job. I mean, we're going to give you a fabulous write-up, but if you help us find your replacement, there's that write-up will improve dramatically.
Right. Rob, let
okay.
me ask you another question, pivoting for a second. One of the things I've thought about is that I'm going to draft a letter to send to our clients just to let them know and, you know, just effectively say, listen, you know, Claudia has been, you know, just an extraordinarily great team member and an even better friend. And, you know, as much as it doesn't make us happy, in those two roles, we always want what's best for her and her family. She's found an opportunity that's, you know, 5 or 10 minutes from home, which anybody who lives around here appreciates what that means, especially with two young girls and a husband that travels a lot. And, you know, so she's going to be moving on. We're working feverishly to, you know, make sure that you don't see any changes or anything. And as we continue to, you know, make progress and how we're going to move forward from here, we'll keep you tuned in.
There's a plus and a minus to doing that, right?
All right.
The plus is they might have somebody to recommend for you. That's the plus. The minus is that you're including them in your drama.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I don't want to do that.
Right. You don't want the clients to be involved in any of this unless they can possibly send you somebody that you think would be a good bit. So unless you are confident that they have got somebody to send to you or possibly do, like they're a headhunter or they're a person that is in our business that knows a lot of people, I would not include them in the drama. I would let them know. I would let them know when it happens. You have the new person and introduce them. And then you tell them that we wish Claudia well and she'll be, this is the reason and so forth. So it's always a good news letter.
So if we dial into a call that Claudia would normally be on and she's not on the call, would you address it then if we haven't found a replacement for her, or what would you?
Oh, yeah. Always verbally is fine. You can do anything you want verbally because there's nothing in writing and you're not making a big drama out of it. But anytime you send something in writing that makes the client uneasy, you're introducing an extra reason to be uncomfortable.
Okay, good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, approach clients with solutions, you know, to the problems that may, you know, you never come to a client and tell them that the markets are terrible.
Exactly.
Right? You always come to them with an issue and a solution. So you want to have the solution in hand. Like everything is, don't worry, there will be some disruption, but we've got it fixed.
Yeah, unlike the clients you call and say, have you guys seen what's going on with the market? And we're tempted to say, no, is something happening?
Got a little volatility. It's providing some amazing opportunities.
It has.
And that's what you want to say here. The volatility is going to, it provides us with some amazing opportunities. So that's what this is. This is an opportunity. Project upgrade. You're going to get better. Okay.
Yep.
If you're going to have a team, you're going to have turnover.
Absolutely.
It just is. It is part of, you know, it's like me saying, oh, I want to be an office manager, but I'm not going to have any, I just can't stand turnover. You know, I can't have any turnover. Well, are you kidding? You're going to turn your half of your office over in 5 years. Or, you know, 10 years, probably 80% of the office is going to turn over. So you better be good at hiring or you're going to be a terrible manager.
Right.
And I don't think, teams don't experience it individually, but if you looked at the office and see how much turnover there are inside teams, you'd freak out. You'd say, oh, my God. And that's one of the reasons management is sometimes behind the eight ball, because everybody is asking them for the help in terms of hiring and development, training and all this stuff, and they just don't have the capacity. And that's why I say don't depend on them, because they may be, you know, still working on a team that had turnover 3 months ago and they haven't got it fixed. Or five teams that had turnover. So you gotta be self-sufficient, independent, individual, utilizing the firm as much as you can as a channel, but you're it. And you say, well, that's not fair. And they say, well, life's not fair. You know, that's the reality. And if you have, you know, if you have a superb management team, they do it better. You know, unfortunately, you don't control their pay.
No, exactly not.
It'd be interesting if they had to submit performance reviews to you guys and that controlled their pay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
All right, good.
Anyway.
Well, we got plenty to keep us busy. We won't, these dog days and summers won't be too boring for us.
Well, Rob, as you know, I'm always available for a private call, or, you know, you can pay me if you feel like you want to use me more. You can call me on short calls and I'll just, you know, not charge you. But if you want you know, a private call. You want to take some time. You talked about doing some more of that. That's fine.
Yep.
You may want to put that on hold. But I'm available for you, especially during a period like this, okay? When you say, oh, we need another call because we did the gap analysis. We've come up with it. We just want some more direction and tell you where we've gone. It's a 15-minute call. Good. You both can do that, okay? So
perfect.
During periods of disruption, sometimes it's worth it to have that extra ear to guide us through a transition like this. Because, you know, I remember I had to fire half my office in Chicago when I started there as a man, my first office. I literally fired more than half my office. And I fired my admin manager, my secretary, and I had to sit there and in the admin officer's manager's office and run the office from there, okay, inside the cage, as we used to call it. And I remember I would take Saturdays to do interviewing for admin managers, and they'd fly in and I'd interview them. And I hired her, one, and she was great, and we built the office together from there on. But it, you know, it took extra time and effort on my part, and that was okay because I knew it wasn't going to last. And that's what this is. It may take extra time and effort temporarily to solve this problem, so take it, but get it behind you. Okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's I like that. Get it behind us.
Yeah, get it behind you as soon as you can. It's good advice to me because I'm moving and I'm stretching it out too much, and it's annoying. So when I go home, I'm in Oregon today. When I go home, I'm going to finish the damn job.
Is this in Florida or in Indiana?
I moved from Indiana to Nashville.
Oh, that's right. Okay, good. So are you loving Nashville?
I'm loving Nashville. I'm in a condominium, though. I went from a big house to a condominium, and it's a perfect thing to do. It's the smartest thing in the world to do. It's just, you got all this stuff that you have to get through and get rid of or keep or store or do something with it. And I just have to get to that. I've been going through it, but I need to do it in twice. I got to accelerate the speed of everything.
Gotcha. Hey, Rob, well, I appreciate this. This is super helpful. We'll get to work on this. And what we may do is come back to you in the next, you know, weeks and days and kind of say, hey, here's where we think we are. Does this look reasonable and rational to you?
Right. Good, good. And tell Cindy I just said to fit me, because she'll say Rob doesn't have any time, he's blah, blah, blah. And she said, Rob said to fit him in, okay?
Okay.
So fit you in. Just tell her that.
Right.
Fit you in. I want the call, okay?
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Cindy.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.